This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, Channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, we were just trying to make sure we have a clear audio so that you don't have any difficulties hearing me. Are we good then, producer? No problems, no difficulty, no challenges? All right, good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear. We're going to have some special guests around 2:30 to talk about something upcoming. Before we get to that, I did want to point out a couple of things that I observed in the news. If you were listening to AP News on Guardian Radio, you would have heard them say the belief is that largely the war against inflation globally has been won and without much cost to economic growth. Did y'all hear that? It would have come on just before the show opened up. That the war against the global war against inflation has been largely won. Listen to it now. And at no cost to economic growth. Now, remember the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance said recently, Prime Minister Davis said recently that there are no quick fixes for inflation. Remember that? And now you have this news item saying that the war has been won. And it makes the point, a point that we have been making on this show for a little while. they won the war against global inflation, because that's where the inflation was happening, not in the Bahamas. It was not where it was happening. It was not originating in the Bahamas. It was not being caused by anything happening in the Bahamas. So those who live in the areas where, whether that was the China or the United States of America or Europe, they had to use the tools they had to fight that war. In particular, in our case, the United States of America had to fight that war. And how did they fight it? Well, you know, part of the inflation was being driven by a kind of a heated economy because people had money to spend. You know, during the pandemic, the U.S. government provided lots of relief in the way of cash injection into the economy. Well, people get cash in their hands, they're going to spend that cash. When they spend cash in their hands, when they have cash in their hands and they're spending it, it's going to drive up demand, meaning I want more TVs, I want more food, I want more this, I want more that. Well, at the same time as people are demanding more things, the global manufacturing and transportation and distribution infrastructure was being challenged to provide all those things. Okay, because lots of disruption happened during the course of the pandemic. And so now you have an increased demand for things with a reduced supply of things. Well, that's going to mean that people are going to try to start auctioning up the price of things. On this, they pay more. And that paying more drives up the cost of things, and that's what feeds inflation. But that was happening outside of the Bahamas. We import 90%+ of what we consume. So we're not the ones generating inflation. Other places are. So they fight it, and once they got it under control and contained it, then we get the benefit of that, just as when it was out of control, we got the pain of it. So it was never in the capacity, and I said this to all of you, it was never in the capacity of the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to do anything about inflation, other than perhaps give people some support, like you could give them some cash to help them pay for things, or you could try to shave the cost of things, but that doesn't, like by cutting custom duties and those kinds of things, but that didn't mean that that's what was going to happen, because sellers would have had to pass on that savings. There was no guarantee that would happen. And so now what is important for you to remember, you all remember Shivago Lang said this to you all today. Others I heard saying it recently. Listen to me. Because inflation goes down, remember, what that means is, it means that the rate, the pace, the speed, the extent to which it slows down does not mean that price rising stops. Can I say that to you again, please? Please, and if you're not clear, you text me. Text me on 422-4796 or 439-3043, WhatsApp me, and you say, Shivago, I don't understand it. Can you explain it? Because I want you all to be clear. Inflation is a general rise in the price of things. And when you get a number like 2%, 3%, 4%, it is telling you the rate at which that rise is happening. The only way that prices are not rising generally is if you have zero inflation. If you have negative inflation, like -1, -3, -10, -16, then you have deflation. So deflation, on a reduction in prices. Zero is stagnation in price increases. Anything above zero is an increase in prices. So unless you have zero inflation, increase. So when they say they have inflation under control, that is not to say that prices have stopped rising. What that means is the normal pace of price rise, like 2% or 1.7%, that's where we may be going back to. But do not think you're going to walk in a food store and the prices are going to drop. It'll be lower than you've been paying and that they're not going to be rising anymore. That would be a misunderstanding of inflation. Okay, if you don't get that, please let me know. We have a text here. Good afternoon. So explain it again, please. Tune in late. Okay. So inflation is a general rise in prices. So you don't have inflation if just fish goes up and everything else stays the same. You don't have inflation if furniture goes up and everything stays the same. Inflation is measured in the Bahamas by the Bahamas National Statistical Institute using what we call the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. So that index tracks a category of things that we buy, health care, food, drinks, and automobiles and transportation, these kinds of things. So they look at how, and they have a weight, it's a weighted index, meaning because we spend income on certain things versus other things like housing and so forth, it's weighted to reflect that the fact that we spend differently on different categories of things in the economy. So the BNSI has they choose a year where they peg the set of prices related to those categories of items at, say, 100. And if the prices increase generally above 100, then they say you have inflation. The question is how much. If it goes from 100 to 110, then that's a 10% increase in inflation, right? So what I'm saying to you is, you heard a news story just before the show started that said they are now saying that the war against inflation has been won globally, meaning that they've been able to bring it down from that high rate that we had been seeing, 8% and 10% and so forth, to more moderate rates that we are accustomed to seeing. And I'm saying to you, you walk into the store running on to tell people, oh, well, prices should be going down. That means you don't understand what inflation is. Because unless inflation is zero, if it's 0.1, if it's 0.2, if it's 1, if it's 2, it means that generally prices are rising. If it's negative 1 or negative 2, then it means there's a deflation. You actually have a general decrease in prices. That's very rare in an economy like ours. Very rare, right? So what is now happening is not that prices have stopped rising, but that they have stopped rising at the pace, the rate, the speed, the extent that they were rising. And there is no way on God's earth you are going to see that them prices just decrease to where they used to be. It is not going to happen. Not going to happen. Don't let anybody fool you about that. Get that out your head. Anybody promise you that? Anybody tell you that? They are outright lying to you, misleading you. It is nonsense. Prices will not go back. And if you see prices, your economy is suffering. Okay, that is not a good sign. I saw in the newspaper, they are saying that the BNSI, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, is saying for the second quarter, imports have increased in the Bahamas. Now, generally speaking, right, I understand you guys. You think, oh, imports increasing and not exports. Man, that means the Bahamas economy is doing bad. That is not what that means. That is not what that means. As a matter of fact, if our imports are increasing, there's only one way for that to happen. You have to have more money to buy more things from away. Can I say that to you all again? If your imports are increasing, one or two things is happening. You are either buying more of the same things at the same price, or the things that you are buying the same amount of, the price of those things have increased. So you, when you look at import, so when the BNSI reported it, and I have to delve into the Guardian's report to see whether in fact they did this. You have to ask yourself, okay, when they say import increased, is it a quantity increase? Meaning we were doing 100 million pounds of chicken. Now we're doing 140 million pounds of chicken? Or are they saying the 100 million pounds of chicken that we spent $140 million for, we are still doing, but now we spend $170 million on it? That whether the two of those things are true makes a big difference to what the implication is for your economy. Huge difference. If it's a quantity increase, that means that you are buying more of a thing you buy, which means you got to have the money to buy more of the thing you buy, which means, generally speaking, your economy is doing better. That's the only way to buy more of the same thing, right? Is you got to have more money. So generally in our economy, all things else being equal, if our current account, meaning that import versus exports, is increasing, which means it looks worse, generally speaking, that's a sign that your economy is doing better. It's a bit counterintuitive, but it is how things work in our economy. Okay. And so do not go in the store hearing that inflation is under control and expecting to see lower prices. That's a misunderstanding of inflation. Has had rising in prices increases practically every year since independence. You all want me to say that again? If you look at the inflation rate in the Bahamas since going back to the time where we first started doing this, practically every year you will see that prices have generally increased. Generally increased. Right? And that's been a function of the fact that the places where you buy them from, the prices have been increasing in those places, and they pass on those prices to you. All right. So I hope you understand it. If you don't, if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government Savings Bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Savings Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
NASA, are you ready for November 2nd?
Because we are ready!
Hi, this is KB, and I will be performing live.
Break, hit, scrape, explosion.
Reloaded. This is the one and only band, John, letting y'all know that yours truly will be performing.
Oh yeah, this your boy D-Mac, and I'll be performing live.
Keep the vibe alive, music group, and Alpha Sounds Promotion invites you to the biggest
race. Are they going
to
leave me out?
Saturday, November 2nd at Super Club Breezes Ground.
It's me, Mama D.
This is Wilfred Solomon.
Yo, it's your boy, Ron.
It's your boy, Elliot, from the New Breed Band.
The biggest artist of the 242.
It's your boy, Shine 242.
Hey, it's Shirai Taylor.
It's your boy, Johnny K.
The Falcon Showback.
This is my DJ Rev.
Funky D.
This is your girl, Nishi Al-As, a.k.a. Miss Loose Me.
Hey there, this is Rico on B.
Hey, this is Gino D, and I will be performing live.
Hey, it's me, Julian Belize.
Tickets available at the Beauty Shack and BahamasEtickets.com. The countdown is on. Break and scrape explosion. Best of best.
Thank you.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 News, Smart Talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-3005 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Yesterday we talked about the Bahama situation in which Sarkis Ismailian and his family won a judgment against China Construction America Company. And so we were wondering, you know, in light of that judgment, whether there was going to be an appeal. Well, we know now that China Construction Company is, in fact, going to appeal the case, claiming that the decision was deeply flawed. The New York judge made a deeply flawed decision. They indicate, according to an article by The Guardian, in today's newspaper, that the decision that the judge made ignores indisputable evidence that BML Properties overborrowed, BML Properties being Sarkis, overborrowed, overspent, and overextended itself, and then drove the project into a wrongful, secret bankruptcy without first seeking the contractually required consent of minority investor CSCEC Bahamas to eliminate its obligations at the expense of other stakeholders, including not only CSEC Bahamas and construction manager CCA Bahamas, which made tireless efforts to complete the Bahama project on time and within budget, but the Bahamian government, subcontractors, and workers. That's one of the longest sentences I have read in a letter. But essentially they're saying that Sarkis's group was at fault for borrowing too much money, spending too much money, and then extending themselves beyond their means, and then go and secretly put the company into bankruptcy, and bankruptcy then the United States of America. Why? So that they could eliminate their obligations to their stakeholders. And their stakeholders included their minority partner, included CCA, included the Bahamian government, subcontractors, and workers. And that they intended to challenge that ruling on that basis. So there you have it. And you know, as a lawyer once told me, once you go to court, you never know what's going to happen. So we'll all have to see how that's going to turn out. This judge text says, great show as usual. If the judge tells me I have to pay someone $1 billion, I would say they were deeply flawed too. Okay. All right. So my guests are in studio, and I have to always humbly welcome these guests because they are my colleagues from the University of the Bahamas. And since they didn't give me no details about who's coming, these are very educated, articulate people. Somebody's going to introduce the group for me. Welcome, folks.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
I am mostly good.
Exciting. Good. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. Just make sure we know who all are there. So so that I don't say tingum and them.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that. So I am Naisha Tillis. I am the manager of student engagement at the University of the Bahamas and the chairperson of the Homecoming Committee. And today we also have Ashley Knowles, director of Greek Life and Student Leadership from the University of the Bahamas.
Hello.
All right. And we getting ready for Homecoming?
It's homecoming time.
Yeah.
Man, homecoming is something. I want to know all that's going on. Tell us all that's gonna happen. First of all, tell us what homecoming is.
Well, homecoming, the word says it itself. Here at the University of the Bahamas, we believe in supporting students, and of course we want our university community to be engaged. So that's what homecoming allows us to do. It's an opportunity for alumni and community partners and friends to come back home and share in all of the wonderful festivities here at UB, and also to see UB. A lot of times people come back on campus after many years and they're like, wow, I didn't know this was here, and I didn't know that we did this and this building and all of those things. And we want people to see what your contributions have done as a community member, as a Bahamian, or as a donor, all of the things that we've done with the money you've given us, and also as alumni and seeing that our students are really appreciative of what you've done. So that's a big part of it. But it's also a time to celebrate, especially now that we're in our 50th year. And so homecoming is going to be bigger and better than it's ever been before because we are celebrating UB, COB's 50th year here in the Bahamas.
Wow, nice. You know, I often take students that are in a leadership program that I have to the University of the Bahamas, the campus here in Nassau. And I have to tell you, when they get there, I'm always delighted to see how many jaws drop when they see actually go on the campus to see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know, you know. And then those of us who graduated time ago.
Yes, certainly. We've seen, just in the last 10 years alone, we've introduced or had, three major projects that are now, functioning buildings that are here that students are in and out of. So it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful campus. And we want everybody to be engaged and be a part of the growth.
Excellent. So when is homecoming? What's the lineup? And what should we know?
All right. So homecoming kicks off on November 1st. Through the 10th, we have a variety of events and experiences for students, faculty, staff, and the community. It is our nation's institution, so we invite the nation to come on down and see what's happening and be a part of the festivities. So on the 1st, we kick off with a UB Blue Day. We want you to come down in your blue. We're going to have food, drinks, a good time, a mini rush out, just to celebrate how far we've come and just to get things started. On the 2nd, November 2nd, that is a Saturday, the Alumni Association, which I have the privilege of being the chairperson for, is hosting a disco party. So we're calling everyone down to come on down and boogie. Have a good time.
Hold on. You can't just race past that. Come on, man. Hold on. Slow down a little bit now. A disco party.
Disco party. Yes. Come down. Let's
you
boogie.
Think this generation know what a disco is?
Boy, if they don't, they'll know on November 2nd.
They
will find out on November 2nd. We'll show them how it's done. Right. Or how
that's
we used to get
about.
Down.
A little bit of night fever, night fever.
All right.
So it's about, stepping back in time, groovy music, retro vibes, fun, and just a chance to reconnect with your fellow classmates and like Mr. Knowles mentioned, also kind of seeing some of the development that has taken place at the University of the Bahamas, but really it's just about dancing the night away with fellow alumni.
Yeah, and with that too, Nai, I'd say that, you know, this and all of our events are particularly crafted for experiences for everyone. And so all of our alumni from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, come on, we want you to be a part. It's not something that you cannot participate in. If you are friends of the university, if you have a child, a son, a daughter that went here and you didn't, but you want to come and disco and boogie, you can too.
Yeah,
it's for everybody.
That sound like a treat. That sound like a Far Back Friday here on Z Life.
So continuing on with our festivities on November 3rd, which is a Sunday, we have a homecoming gospel concert. Yes. And so, of course, it's an uplifting evening of praise and worship, getting our audience filled and inspired with joy that evening. We have performers like Ignited. We have Stacks.
We have all the top artists you can imagine around the Bahamas. We have Davian Chase. You know, everybody loves Davian Chase. Mm-hmm. We have Oslin Jordette. He's going to be there. We're going to have all of the big gospel artists there supporting us and ministering. So, you know, that's going to be, I mean, last year was...
It was crazy.
It was out of this world. I mean, the students themselves, just to see how much they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, that was really good. And then, of course, our university community. So that's a big one. And people can enjoy...
Just so people know, when I was at the University at COB from 84 to 86, there was always a robust, very active student Christian movement there.
Yes.
On the campus, you know, the notion that people would practice their faith and explore that was always a part of campus life.
Yes, certainly. And we're going to continue that with this event.
Yeah, definitely. And we do have student organizations still on campus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And students will also be participating in this as well. So some of our student groups and our student artists who are up and coming. Last year we had rappers, we had dancers, we had mime, all of that. And so it's going to be a really, really good night to enjoy. Beat the price for this type of event with all the artists that's going to be there. Trust me, it's going to be worth your time.
Yes.
Okay.
On November 6th, we have a Blue Park Kickback. And so this is just an environment where we have our Greek community that will be giving out treats to those that will be in attendance. So we have undergraduate chapters. We're inviting all the graduate chapters as well to participate.
Yes. And so with that, all of the persons that were members of our Greek community and those who may have not been members of our Greek community at UB, but you are in a fraternity or sorority, we invite you to come. And fraternity and sorority life is very, very important to us at the university because it's one of those things that also help to build that academic foundational support for our students, right? Fraternity and sorority life also helps you to build community and build friendship and what we call brotherhood and sisterhood. And so all those persons who were members, if you are still active, or even if you're not active anymore, but you're part of the community or you have family or friends who are a part of the community, we invite you to come. It's going to be a real real laid-back social event, and that one's going to actually have free food. So you can't beat free food, right?
No, you can.
And so free food and drink, getting to engage with the students. They'll do a little strolling and a little stepping as well. Great music, all those fun vibes. So that's going to be a good one, too.
Yeah. I mean, everything is going to be great, but yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the Blue Search. That's in the middle of the day from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and that's considered our pep rally.
Yes.
So we're preparing for the basketball game, which is the following day. So we showcase not only all of the athletic teams that are on the University of the Bahamas' campus, but the starting five that will be taking us to that win on Friday.
Yes. And I would say, too,
I have a trivia for you all, you know.
You have a trivia for us? Oh, boy.
Well, maybe not quite a trivia. I'm just going to give you all a piece of trivia.
Okay. Right?
I was on COB's basketball team.
Really?
I hope he was in the water boy now.
Oh, no.
I had a uniform.
Okay.
Mr. Delancey was the director of student activities at the time and the coach.
Okay.
Wow.
And, exciting.
And I actually asked him to be on the team, and he was very skeptical. And then he had his team play a team I was on.
Wow.
And he became least skeptical, and he brought me a uniform.
Nice. You could still find that uniform or fit that? You could come and wear that, man.
Can I find the knee I used to play on.
Wow.
That's all right, man. And even with that event, too, I remember last year, that was really exciting. So if you come into that, you got to be early because the house is going to be packed. Mm-hmm. So seating is needed for that.
I get very bad.
Because we have staff engaged. There's usually a staff karaoke element. There is a blast from the past element. We have the University of the Bahamas Royals, Miss and Mr. University of the Bahamas, and the Royal Court doing a catwalk segment. So it's just different things showcasing the talents of our students, but also calling back faculty, staff, and alumni to showcase their talents as well and celebrating that.
And you could actually have President Hodder and Dr. Ariaki and Dr. Strawn and
everybody coming down.
So we hope
you come in to give us a number two.
Listen, unfortunately, I cannot be there because I have some medical things to do. But I, if karaoke, I had to show you all one or two of things. You know.
We'll hold you to that.
Yeah.
And I mentioned our basketball game, which is the following day, Friday, November 8th. Before our basketball game that starts at 8 p.m., we usually have a tailgate right before that just to get everybody ready and excited for the basketball game to start. So come on down, bring your cooler, bring your things, right? It's time for us to fellowship before we get excited.
Yeah, and that's going to be on Friday. So you can come straight from work, put your clothes in the car, put your, you know, whatever you need to bring so we can unwind and get ready for the game. So, you know, you don't got to go home.
Yeah, so this is a different environment. Yes. Rather than going to happy hour, come right down.
Yeah, happy hour
Kendall.
With us.
There you go.
That sounds like a fantastic homecoming week, man.
Yeah, we ain't even finished yet.
We're not done, and we are not done.
Roll the church on.
After the basketball game, we have UB Lit. That's facilitated by Student Government Association. Yes. And so we're partnering with various departments and organizations to ensure that we're offering a unique homecoming experience. Yes. And it would be remiss of me if I don't mention UB North, who is having their block party in Grand Bahama on the 8th as well at 8 p.m. at the downtown campus.
Yeah, so the 8th is the party day. And with that too, Shivago, now with the UB Lit, now, you know, we getting a little old, but they have these, what you call them, DJs, and the list, and they got, must see, four or five DJs, the top DJs on the island. So you got to be a part of that. And it's only, what,
$10?
Only $10. So that's going to be a good
special guest appearance too.
And we're going to have a special, we ain't want nobody to know yet. You ready? Okay, let them know.
It's not me.
It ain't you.
I'm not going to.
Just to let everyone know. So we have special.
So you all know.
yeah. So we have special guest appearance by It's Dia. She was on a popular television
reality
show.
TV, yeah.
And so she's making an appearance for our students and performing as well.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's exciting.
Wow. There you go. Now, how many DJs? You say five?
Yeah, but five DJs on there.
I thought it was 20.
I know, right? It's so much. What these names is? DJ Lover, DJ
Giant,
DJ Glenn, DJ Lil Giant, AJ, Teddy, all the DJs.
And you know they like to compete with each other now. So,
right.
So you know. Okay.
Yes.
And rounding off all of our festivities is?
So on the 9th in the evening, we've been looking forward to this in our Greek community. Our students are excited about this. They've been planning for about, 6 weeks now. And so they're going to display all of their creativity, their rhythmicness, their artisticness, their dance moves. They're going to put on a whole show. So we have four of our fraternities and two of our sororities that will be participating in this big Greek event that's going to be at the Kendall Isaac Gym. And so we want everybody to come on down and enjoy.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
And so I know that rounds off our, and we have a church service on Sunday just to thank the Lord for everything he did for us over the last few days.
Amen.
But even in December, we have the President's Soiree and Alumni Awards, which typically rounds off our homecoming festivities. But instead of in the month of November, we're facilitating that in the month of December. And so for us, that's just a way to kind of wrap up all of the festivities to celebrate the university's 50th and how far it's come.
It's the homecoming list of activities on the website?
It is on the website, and you can access at chapter1bookstore.com.
Excellent. Anything else before we say goodbye?
Well, definitely, again, like we said at the beginning, homecoming is for everybody. The University of the Bahamas belongs to all of us. UB is you and me. And so we want everybody to be a part. We want you to come on down, enjoy the events, bring your family, bring your friends, bring the kids, bring Grammy, bring whoever, bring everybody down, and we want to have a really, really good time. Come on home, down at homecoming.
This text say you all should have a DJ clash with DJ Lang.
So we need to make sure he's there.
Yeah, but see, ain't gonna be no clash because you know I'm limited to like the 80s. Them brethren might have all kinds of other stuff. All right, well, we're glad to hear about what's going on. And if anything else we need to do to help you get the word out, please let us know.
Yes, please share. Please spread the word.
Definitely.
Thank you, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
The waffle with cheese at Burger King Nassau has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular waffle with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your waffle with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 82217 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-623-6232 or 325-4316 from the Family Islands. 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Did you hear that former Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, said that the ruling by the New York court was just the tip of the iceberg? And that he called for a commission of inquiry into the matter. So the leader of the official opposition, Michael Pintard, called for a probe, So he didn't quite go to the place of commission of inquiry, unless there was something more than what I read. But the former prime minister is calling for commission of inquiry, saying that it's just a tip of the iceberg. Is it? It's interesting. If CCA is appealing, and you know, the one thing that's true about court cases is if you've done something wrong, so let's say you're accused of something, it is rather foolish to go and put your matter before the courts, because stuff comes up. Right? It's a probe. It's an extensive judicial probe. And so a lot of times lawyers will tell you, if you could avoid court, avoid it, because you just don't know what will happen. You think you do. You know what you want, but you don't know. And so CCA is going to appeal. The case has been vetted already by the New York courts, put the matter before the courts. Some things were said, but is there anything of national import, anything that strikes at, say, institutional corruption or corruption at the highest level in the country that came out? Because when you do a commission of inquiry, the interest is not political, you know. It's not partisan political. Now, partisan political purposes can be served by it, but it is an inquiry to inform a nation about what is happening to itself, what is happening in itself that might have systemic or broad application or import, right? Otherwise, you'd be calling for a commission of inquiry every day. Commission of inquiry is a serious matter. Right? When Ingram and Pinling did the commission of inquiry, you know, the large question was, and remember I told you all this, the commission of inquiries are about questions the answer to which a country needs to have. So when Pinling did the commission of inquiry, the question was, is the Bahamas a corrupt nation participating at systemic and institutional levels and at the highest levels in the country in drug trafficking that had gone viral across the globe in terms of accusations about the country's reputation? So remember, big article, nation for sale. So you want an system-wide, institutional-wide, high-level degree of corruption taking place in the country insofar as the trafficking of drugs are concerned. That was the question. When Ingram asked it, did the commissions of inquiry, the question was there broad-based abuse, institutional, systemic, high-level abuse of government entities by government officials? Was Bahamas there being used corruptly? Was abuse in terms of, there was abuse of power, BEC and BTC, Patelco? That was the question. In respect of Bahama, what would be the question that we must know? Tell me, somebody tell me. If you've been following the matter, what is the question that we must know insofar as Bahamas is concerned? This says, isn't this the same Dr. Minnis who hold on opposition said that he was going to reverse the deal with Bahama? Yeah. Yeah. say, in my opinion, I'm a nobody, but don't do a probe in that you could open Pandora's box. Just my opinion. But before we get to that, listen to me. Don't let your mind stray. Don't let your mind stray. Do not presume on the guilt or innocence of anybody or anything. What I'm asking is, what is it that is of a national importance that we must know about what transpired with Bahama. What is it that we must know? Tell me. What is that ragey question that must be answered by us so that we could be a better country? Tell me. Because that's what commissions of inquiries are about. What is the question? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, the warmth.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm dead. Take stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says we need a commission of inquiry into the spending of our money in water and sewage, food network program, and roads and parks while the former administration was in power. But we know that won't happen because the PLP and the FNM is one in the same. You think so? I think that's distinctly wrong, but they're definitely not one in the same. That don't mean the challenges, but they ain't one in the same. That's absolutely untrue. Untrue. I can tell you that. From both sides, but both sides would say that. That's untrue. we are interesting people in this way, right? And I don't know. I mean, we're human beings, so we are emotional when we're ready sometimes. We are partisan when we are ready sometimes. But one of the things we are is stubbornly unwilling to provide evidence of the claims we make. That's because we're undisciplined as scholarly people. We're undisciplined, many of us, not all of us, but many of us. We are undisciplined as scholarly people. We are undisciplined as thinkers. We are not critical thinkers. And so we will say things without reflecting. You know, a thoughtful person, a rational person, A person who believes that their words should matter, a person who believes that there should be integrity in their words, before they release them, think, is there something out there that could contradict what I'm saying? Something legitimate, something realistic could contradict what I say. Like when some people say the government ain't doing nothing. Really? Really? Is there nothing you could find to contradict that? Oh, so I suppose there are no public schools. There are no public health facilities. There are no roads in the Bahamas. And the government doesn't issue passports. And the government isn't having sanitation work. Man, don't tell me, oh, but you know, they just be, no, you're being incredible when you speak. That's what you're doing. You are not speaking as an intelligent person. And the only intelligent dialogue will help us out. If we all say lies or exaggerations or stuff like that, we don't get anywhere. So forgive me if I'm not sympathetic to statements that just don't represent credible statements, right? The FNM, the PLP, the same. You know the FNM, the PLP ain't the same. That's an absolute bull nonsense, right? One is called FNM, one is called PLP. That even ain't the same. They got different people running the show. They have different constitutions. One have MCMs, the other one has stalwart counselors. They govern differently in many respects. But we still say these things because we're undisciplined as thinkers. Our own words. We don't respect our own words. Forget the person to whom we're uttering them. When you respect your words, when you believe that one of the sacred obligations you have is to have integrity in your words, you will be more careful what you say. And I'm not just talking about the text just now. I'm talking, but this is as a general statement. Too often we see us, we want to shoot off our mouths because we are angry or we are frustrated or we want to be insulting or we want to be, you know, we'll just say things. Words matter. And they should be uttered with sacredness. They should. Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Says, what a great fire, a little flame. Talking about the tongue as an example now. Starts. We ought to have more integrity in our words. And it starts from the top, whether they are prime ministers or leaders of religious organizations or heads of businesses, all should have integrity in their words. I'm not talking you morally the upright and right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about speaking in a way where you make every effort to ensure that what you say has credibility. Now, you could be wrong. You could still be incorrect. But once you find yourself corrected, then you make adjustments. But the effort should be there to say credible things. The effort should be there. I listen to shows and read stuff. And I see it all the time. Now, you know, journalists have an obligation. And I have to say, my own experience of Bahamian journalists is that very many of them are true to that obligation. Their obligation is to report on the facts. Who, what, when, where, why. And they have to have oftentimes corroboration for their printing, writing, stating of what happened. That discipline that they have is a discipline that we ought to have generally ourselves. And if you don't know something, state it as if you don't know it. You know, I'm not sure this is so, but I'm intrigued or I'm interested to know. You can say that. Right? But don't make statements of fact that you can't corroborate evidence. It's important. very, very, very important. Anyway, so I'm thinking about this a lot. Thinking about it a lot. Thinking about us here in the country. About where we go from here. What's next for us? And by next, I mean, what's next for us in the totality of our experience as a group of people connected by the shared land space we have, by the shared and communal interactions and relationships we have, connected by our common history, connected by our placement within the we occupy, the experience we have, that what's next for us in that experience, and what gets to shape the now and the next. What shapes that? What is going to be ultimately the thing that shapes the most of that for us? Is it going to be our politics? Is it going to be our religion? Is it going to be our culture? Is it going to be the international affairs that's taking place around us? Is it going to be our individual decision-making? Is it going to be our family decision-making? What is going to determine what is in our now or what is in our next? Is it going to be something we are intentional about? Are we intentional about it? Do we even know what we want it to be? What do we want it to be? If we could describe our next, would we be describing something that we think is fanciful? Or would we be describing something we think is absolutely achievable? Or we think is something absolutely unfolding for us? What's next? All these conversations we are having, all these activities we are having, all these events taking place, all this, to what end? Will they lead to an end, or are we really just subject to a lot of quasi-intentional, probably more accidental happenings around us, and that basically what we do is live, then die, and then the next group comes on, live and then die, and there's really nothing at the end of the day that we are about? What are we about, really? Is there a perfect Bahamas we could try, strive for? Is there? Is it possible that we could really bequeath to our children and grandchildren and grandchildren's children a place of marvel? Can we? I mean, seriously, I'm lying to you. What are we doing? What are we doing? Or really, should we just be thinking, let me tell you all something, we are hopelessly incapable in our country, and that really you just need to wait for Jesus to come. If you believe in Jesus, or if you believe in somebody else, you wait for them to come. Or you just wait for death to come. Because, bro, this is all there is. This ain't got no better than this. But a vote for somebody or somebodies. Really be an act of supporting the unfolding of a better next, a truly better next. Could it be possible to look forward to an election with the prospect that, you know what, if we get this done, we truly could be in a better way in a period of time? Is there any possibility that hangs in the heads of any of us? No, I'm not talking about I'm voting so my people could be in power so I could get my piece of the pie. I'm not talking about that. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about that. I'm voting so we could be in this ISAF and MISA PLP, and that's the way it is. No, I'm talking about, could I be casting a vote for him or for her or for them? Because You know what, bro? I see the possibility. The possibility of what? Of the Bahamas being what? What? Of us being what? What possibility? Let me tell you something. I'm talking about a possibility so deep that down in the ghetto, as we like to say, down on the ground, as we like to say, over the hill or someplace or on top of the mountain somewhere, people believe the same way that it is possible. Let me tell you all something. A great deal of cynicism and skepticism exists out there. We got business people don't know what to make of what is going on. They don't know what to make of employees. They don't know what to make of the environment. Some making plenty of money, mind you, but still, they know things. They feel things still messed up. They just happen to be lucky enough to be in one of them spaces where that thing going on. But as a general rule, when they have a choice, they leave this place and go find life elsewhere. They find living elsewhere. What is possible? What is next? What are we doing? Nobody? Anyone? Anyone believes again? Believes anymore? Has that inspirational hope for better? Beyond what Jesus will do. Beyond what God will do. Beyond waiting for the afterlife. I'm talking about now. What we can do. Anybody? Or are you tired? Or are you sick? Or are you sick and tired? And you're just kind of like, man, listen, dude, all you would do is do you. Is that what's driving some of these young men and young women do the things they do? They just see that this is a dog-eat-dog world, and listen, man, just go for yours and do yours. We ain't building nothing around you. We ain't aiming for nothing around you together. Just do you. Say, we are voting for our party to win. Yeah, many people. That's true. That's very true, I think. We're voting for our party to win. Nothing wrong with that either, but I'm just saying. It says, you may say that they are not the same. Well, but think you know what is meant by that. Policies and actions by both parties that align can give that impression. For example, which of the two parties has made the ease of obtaining information a priority to remove the mystery behind decisions made that impact the nation? Which party is demonstrating prioritizing this? Notwithstanding the promises made before an election, which party actually made progress in 30 years? Okay, so you gave me one example. So you used an anecdote, just one example. So by your example, having one thing the same means you are alike. Okay, so let me give you another example. Humans have eyes, so do dogs. Humans have legs, so do dogs. Humans have noses, so do dogs. Humans have tongues, so do dogs. Humans have hearts, so do dogs. Are humans therefore dogs and dogs humans? That's nonsense. Sameness in things does not mean you the same. You and I are we the same? Man, come on, man. If you want to make the point that when they come to office, they have similar policies on some scores, that's fine. You can do that. You can say that. That's not a problem. But the FNM is not the PLP. And they're not the same. They're not the same, period. And they govern differently. Okay? That's one of the reasons why people would say, oh, the FNM is more pro-business than the PLP. Or the PLP is more, put a small man in the FNM. Because people, they from their point of view, they see different. And there are differences. There are definitely differences. Right? So you can't make sameness of a thing, the reason for them being the same. Right? Because like I just said, you share many things in common with dogs. That don't make you a dog. Or doggy, are you? text says, you are so right. What is next? The Bahamian people need something to look forward to. Absolutely, man. Listen to me. Listen to me. Or don't listen to me. This isn't about, et cetera, right? For whatever reason, some 400,000 of us occupy a common space we call the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The Bahamas, we call it. We're here. We are on this ship called Earth, sailing in outer space. And on the ship, we happen to be in Cabin, Bahamas. Then there's Cabin United States of America and Cabin Canada and Cabin Germany and Cabin Ghana and South Africa and Argentina and so forth. And they're all riding on the ship in their own cabins. Now, the cabin, from our point of view, happen to be a little biggish, you know, because we individuals, but the truth is, it's just one cabin, though. What are we doing? What have we to hope for? Really? Let me tell you something. I said this before. Frigging up in government? In ways kind of game? Creates skepticism, cynicism, and failing trust in institutions that outlive people but get to be identified with the people who end up living in them. So failing to keep your promises in government, failing to improve the institutions so that people feel it and experience the improvement, does a great detriment to the institution that will outlive you, because your failure gets identified with the institution and people then start to think the institution itself cannot succeed. And people become hopeless, despairing. Now, let me, can I tell you, I'm not one of the hopeless ones. I'm not. Because I know the power of leadership. I know what is possible. I know what can happen when people come to share common purpose. I know what can happen when people believe. I know what can happen when there is clarity about direction. So, and I know that is possible in the Bahamas. I know that it is absolutely possible. But can I tell you guys? We're messing it up. Can I tell you? Listen to me. I'm primarily right now talking to those of us who occupy the leadership of the institutions in the country, whether that is at the level of the family or the level of the church or the level of the schools or level of the businesses or level of the government. In so many ways, we are messing it up. And don't misunderstand me. If anybody tells you you're not doing anything right, I think that's utter nonsense. We are doing some things right. We're missing an opportunity. We really are, I think. Because we're so selfish. Yeah, man, we're selfish. We're plenty about ourselves. Plenty about me. I'm trying to make some money for me. I'm trying to get a promotion for me. I'm trying to get this done for me and mine. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But if that's your primary driver in the world, the collective responsibility we have to the collective, then it creates a challenge, creates a problem, because we make decisions differently when we are feeling and seeing things that way. Right? And so we find in the collective experience of ourselves. Now, first of all, let me not speak for all of y'all. because maybe most of you all know where we're headed. So you may know where we're headed because it's clear to you. It's clear to you. It's clear to you that you know what we're working on, working toward, and what we and how we trying to get it done. It might be clear to you. It's not so clear to me. Oh, do we have projects? Oh, we have projects we're working on. Like, I mean, they're trying to, you know, you're trying to build this thing or, you know, trying to put a hospital in place and that kind of stuff. And I'm not just talking about this administration, the last one. They were trying to do this project and that project. So we're a project government now. Yeah, we can do projects. But, you know, the real project to me in a country is? The real project in the country is the minds and hearts of the people of the country as a unit. That's a real project. And so that the external projects that we do are intended to reflect the hopes, dreams, and aspirations of those people as revealed by the vision they pursue, that they generated through their dialogue. Huh? That's a real project. See, when you have tragedy in your family, when you suffer significant loss, it makes a world of difference that the family sees that we hurt in the moment, that we have lost in the moment, and therefore come together and try to support, comfort each other in those moments, right? But that's when tragedy happens. Outside of the tragedy, the question is, how does the family move? What is it seeking to do? How is it using the power of their collectiveness to ensure that they are stronger for the next tragedy, or that they are capable of seizing out there for their group to thrive and contribute to the thriving of all the other groups that are around them? For that to happen, you got to be in a different place in leadership. Really, you got that ain't, that's no common leadership there. That's a different mindset and psyche you gotta have to be there. Because you know what is at stake. So this text says, how could it be better when we continue to vote for the two parties who hasn't given us hope all our lives? So Lang, let's look at where we are right now. There is a good chance that the same failed administration who we just voted out will win the upcoming election. We are seeing the same failed leaders now asking us to vote for them again, and we all know these fellas don't have a clue to propel us forward, but because we want our party to win, we vote for them over and over again. How could any sensible hope in what I explained about? Okay, so you've complained, you've criticized, and you've said what is not. Okay, so now I want you to just give us a solution. Tell us what we should do so that we could get better. So tell us what to do. We hear the complaint. The complaint is the two offerings don't make no sense. Now you step up to the plate and show us that you are a man or person beyond complaint and tell us what to do. Because if you don't have no solutions, or you don't want to even offer one, or you don't think through one, and we don't get any further. So help us with that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send me.
successful and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The car?
I ain't marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot. You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This October, Dunkin' Donuts is brewing more than just coffee. We're brewing strength because we're stronger together. Donate at any Dunkin' location to support breast cancer awareness, and we'll match every dollar you give. Together, we're making a real difference for the Sister Breast Cancer Support Group. Sip, smile, support. When we stand together, we're stronger together. Because the Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us or you can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, or you can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, the texter who texted before represents a kind of thought pattern that you hear often in the Bahamas. Thought pattern about folding FNM and PLP and getting really nothing different. And when I hear that, I hear a person who is unwilling to or unaware of the circumstances in this country and how they have evolved. So for instance, the country voted for the PLP in 1967 and for several elections thereafter. Life in the Bahamas before 1967 was not as good in many ways as life in the Bahamas after 1967. The opportunities that became available to a broad set of Bahamians to be educated themselves or to be educated did not exist prior to 67, when the PLP was voted for. The institutions that supported the country, like NIB and COB and them, did not exist prior to that time. And they have been abundantly useful and helpful to the development of this country. The economic gains that were made were not broadly shared. The family island development, not even remotely shared. So voting PLP helped us get somewhere. When the country voted for the FNM, The country that existed after August 1992, in many ways, was a better country than it existed before August 1992. Better country. The relationship that Bahamians had to their leadership was one not of worship you and be dominated by you, but one of you serve us. The capacity of Bahamians to express themselves through multiple sources of media occurred after that time. The development that took basic infrastructure for the benefit of the quality of life for people and for the growth of their economies happened after August 19, 1992. They voted FNM and they got gains from it, benefits from it, material, realizable, provable, evidential evidence from it, just as they did when they voted for the PLP in 1967 and then a number of times thereafter. Now, since 2002, it is arguable, the extent to which meaningful changes were made in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to the benefit of the Bahamian people by voting FNM and PLP. It is arguable. And I'm not saying that these parties did not think that they were doing meaningful things. And some meaningful things were done. Whether those things represented changes in fiscal policy or monetary policy or education policy, some meaningful things were done. If you want examples of some, the extent to which education loans and scholarships were made available to larger numbers of Bahamians, either to the University of the Bahamas or elsewhere in the world, cannot be denied as a positive something that occurred, right? Or whether infrastructure was strengthened in New Providence, whether you look at the road improvement project and so forth. But it is arguable whether behavior in respect to their economic prosperity flourished through those votes. But that could be in part because, doggone it, when Bahamians took the monies that they gained over time and spent it, and then leverage themselves by borrowing and therefore now have no capacity to really enjoy life beyond credit, then they blame the government in so many ways, right? But when you say, talk about voting between these parties as if nothing happened, you are ignoring, denying the reality of what in fact happened in this country under both those administrations. Did some negative things happen and some things that we wouldn't have wanted to happen? Of course. And you have every right to point them out. But just like nobody has the right to talk about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you ain't all good, you ain't all bad, and you ain't all ugly, then you should do the same thing when you're talking about the history of your country and the people who participated in it. You should do the same thing. There are youth programs that are making a difference in the lives of people that are run, started by the government of the Bahamas. Under both. Right? But yet, you see what we do? We talk about the politics. I said, in the leadership of family, in the leadership of the church, in the leadership of the education system, in the leadership of our broad society, you go just to politics. And that is one of the reasons we are challenged as we are, because you can't step out and find ways to say how we get to participate in that better next. In fact, you ain't tell me yet. You describe a problem. You ain't give me no solution yet. We're gonna take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. Listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road. Issue.
living condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you're in these last moments of the show, you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text is, good afternoon, Z. Behavior makes sense in context. That pessimistic thought probably makes sense in the context of the reality which people have lived. We, the majority who voted no in the gambling referendum. The government ignored the we and did the them. I can't tell you that the pessimism or skepticism isn't justified. I mean, you know, and I'm with you. You know, everything has context, and so I'm not, but the thing is, I don't have the luxury of staying saddled in the where I am in and not be hopeful, mindful to make it better. So let me tell you on something. Life is messy, man. The business of achieving, the business of progressing, the business of striving, the business of succeeding, the business of progress, of advancing, the business of development and growth, it is messy. It's a messy business, a messy piece of business, man. Right? Before we landed on these islands, or anybody did, the island was just bush, just trees and bush to get to where we are. People had to do some messy work, cutting and chopping and digging and messy work. Just because you don't have to do that work no more, that particular piece of work, doesn't mean it was a messy, messy work. Huh? People who cook know it's messy work, man. You gotta clean meat. You gotta sometimes take guts out of this and guts out of that. Maybe you didn't do it. The business of life is messy work just to get to your redemption. Jesus had to get himself jacked up, nailed. Everybody want the better. Nobody want to do the messy work. Somebody get the work. It's so I'm saying, even in our modern age, the things we complain about, let's see them as the bush and the trees that need to be cleared in order to get to the place where we want to get. We gotta engage the messy work. So I'm listening to all these fantasy people coming around you, talking to you about, like, life is so easy and so simple. And all you gotta do is elect them to get it done. understand that it's messy work, and the more realistic the people who come to talk to you about doing their part in the political arena, doing their part in the church, and doing their part in the school, if they don't recognize and they don't project to you that it's messy work that has to be dealt with, then leave them alone, because they don't know what the heck is going on planet Earth. Any mommy or daddy know raising a family is messy work, man? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing? It's Alan Johnson. Hey. So on Hercules, John said, no man walk into the same river twice, as he's no longer the same man, nor is it the same river. And anyone believe that nothing has changed, haven't stood still. But I know that statement has came about as part of a political rhetoric. And it has became a substitute for being unable to say what they would have done differently or what they would do in the future.
Yeah,
it is simply,
I agree with you 100%.
They're bad, and I'm going to be better. That's kind of me like going to the next Olympics and telling them they should let me into the gate, because those guys ain't did as well as good as they could. I will do better. But it's an insult to our forefathers. If you recognize where the Bahamas was, if you even used to jump off of 1973, when we had a population of 200,000 people and a GDP of 600 million, today our population is double, but we could conservatively say, with all things considered, that we have a GDP of maybe $16 billion going, right? To say that if you look at the growth around the world, or even do a comparative analysis, which the same group of people like to do, of Qatar and Singapore and all these other different things, by simply saying we could warm ourselves by somebody else's fire rather than the firewood and matches that we have, is that we have grown. You know, could we have done better? Could we have done some things differently? But let's ask that question. Could you have done some things differently in your life? And can
Of course they could. In fact, some of the people who's talking this way are so frustrated with their own lives that they are projecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, right. And saying that they should be. And so the question then becomes is, let's identify individually and collectively where we are and see where it is. And I know this argument with the debt, right? Debt. But look at all major companies and all major countries in the world. Debt is good. The question is, how do you utilize it for good? And so when you begin to have conversation in context, like the other person says, it becomes a wholly different conversation. And I think one of the things that you say, and what part made you say the word critical thinkers, it is very important now that we allow in this new dispensation, well, maybe in the age of, in the knowledge economy, in the age of information, and data and AI, is that we look to see how we can individually and collectively choose a path from this point forward, knowing where we are and where we want to go, as opposed to the complaining. And I'll end in saying this. My dad told a story of a man that used to have a dog. He used to walk to school. He said, he used to walk to school. The dog used to holler. Ow, ow, ow. He asked that guy, why is the dog hollering? The guy says, he's sitting on the nail. My dad said, why don't you take him off the nail? The old man says, when he gets tired, he gets up himself. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. This text is Mr. Lang. With all due respect, I voted both. But honestly, the people are sick and tired of both parties. The rich just getting richer. Stevie Wonder can see that. No, Stevie Wonder can't see that. He is blind. Stevie Wonder cannot see. See, this is what I tell you all about saying things that don't make no sense. Stevie Wonder cannot see. Now I know what you're trying to say, right? But Stevie Wonder cannot see. And neither can you, because you don't know who's getting richer and you don't know who's getting poorer. You have no idea. You are clueless. You know nothing about people's personal finances. You are guessing. Secondly, let me say to you, yeah, you voted for both and people are sick and tired. That sounds strange. Think about, let me show you how unfactual what you're saying is. People are sick and tired of both, but they keep voting for both. How you explain that? Who's the people you're talking about? In the last election, the two of them parties got 80 plus thousand votes compared to 7,000-10,000 from the rest. And you telling me people are sick and tired? Stop talking nonsense. Stop talking nonsense. How you vote last time? Say, you speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. I could assure you, when I move around this place, I hear plenty of PLPs who can vote for PLP, or people who can vote for the PLP, and plenty of people who are FNMs, or people who say they can vote for FNM. They are not talking about voting for you. So let's stop, man. That's what I keep saying. Stop saying words for saying words' sake, man. Have some integrity in your words. Have some integrity in your saying. Infuse your words with intelligence, with knowledge, so that you can be a credible advocate of your own cause. Because otherwise, you might bump into somebody who's thinking and who says, well, my, what a silly thing to say. Why was it silly? Not because you're a silly person, but because you would not allow yourself to be a more intelligent person in having said what you said. That's all that's required, you know. Think about what you say before you say it, right? You can't run around or people are sick and tired of the two of them. Based on what? Based on the voting? Did the voting tell you that? Really? That's all strange to me. This text says, voting for parties got us in this mess, so please vote for my party. People are tired of politicians, so make me one. Okay. That's the argument that they make. So, this is the thing, right? You are projecting on the PLB and the FNM. Because you lack the courage. I don't mean you texted just now. I mean the people who make this argument. But you lack the courage to say to the people who are doing the voting, you're stupid. Now, you tell people they're stupid for voting for these two parties, and you expect them to turn around and vote for you after you then call them stupid. Because that is work. You abuse me, and I fall in love with you. I want you to try that. Go up to a woman or go up to a man when you like them and say, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. Now, can you and I be I'm going on a date? Because I like you and I want you to be my person. Go to your boss and say, listen, I want a promotion and you're too stupid to give me one. You're stupid. You should give me a promotion. Anybody with that strategy is stupid. Huh? If your strategy to get people to support you is calling them dumb and stupid because for supporting who they support, you are stupid. Because people will not respond to that. You can say to people, you know, and you tried that one several times. Let me show you what that has gotten you. And let me show you how, if you try me, I will get you this and that and the next thing. And maybe they'll buy your argument. But this idiotic approach of trying to insult people into supporting you is stupid. But you might get one or two people to come on board. But you ain't gonna never become the government of the Bahamas, I assure you that. Say, sir, I was answering your question. You asked about what we are hoping for. I could care less what you and others are saying. Everyone who are going to vote for leaders who have failed before and expect something different would be disappointed. If the Bahamas was your company, would you put a person to lead your company who had failed before in the same job? I think it is stupid to replace a leader with another failed leader. Well, you care what I'm saying, because you are listening to this program and you listen to this program practically every day. And you send in your word. Why would you send in your thought to speak to somebody you didn't care about and to answer the person you didn't care what they say? I keep telling you all, man, think before you talk. Secondly, Brave Davis was never prime minister before. He may have been deputy prime minister, but he was never prime minister before. Before Hubert Ingraham was Hubert was prime minister, he was not prime minister. And then they voted for him. Right, so who are you talking about? Who are fair leaders? Because all you're saying is people stupid for voting for these people, man. And if that's what you think, why don't you have the courage to say to people you're stupid? Just do that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.